Welcome to the Mike Holt Show, where imagination knows no limitations. Get ready to dive into a world where anything is possible, and fun is the name of the game. It's time to buckle up for an unforgettable ride, because you're tuned into the one and only Mike Holt Show.
Welcome back, Peter. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, really, all things considered.
That's good. You and I have been applying to the Supreme Court to have a hearing about my court case in County Court, Melbourne. But you've got three other cases going as well.
No, three other cases. There's one with Peter Horton in South Australia. There's one with Rodney Cullerton, who's going to the High Court, which is probably going to be a waste of time anyway, but that's the way it is. And that one with a lady having a problem with the family, Federal Circuit and Family Court, who've taken her child away from her. And it does appear that she's starting to get some traction, and she'd been writing to the Prime Minister, and let's hope that Albanese delivered on one of his policies, which was to root out corruption.
He doesn't have a very good record, does he? He's too interested in flying around the place.
Oh, that maybe, but I think his survival will probably depend on delivering on that particular promise.
Where do you want to start, Peter?
In your case, for a start, is one of the most interesting that I've had anything to do with for a long time, because what you've done is put into Supreme Court in Queensland the evidence that the High Court is a Star Chamber Court, and it hasn't been anything but a Star Chamber Court since 1903. It's a Star Chamber Court because in 1903, they allowed a single judge to exercise the judicial power of the Commonwealth with the High Court Procedure Act 1903. Now, this is a sabotage of Queen Victoria's letter of patent, a deliberate disobedience to it, and it's been out to lunch, basically out to lunch since 1952. The problem is that without as-of-right access to a federal Supreme Court, all the courts under it are tainted of fraud, because It's a fraud on the Constitution if they're not a Judicature Act court. Some of the lawyers in the first parliament, or whoever drafted the Judicial Act 1903, put one part out of the Judicature Act 1873 in it, that section 32, which is the High Court must do certain things, or shall do certain things, and that's a command. But they left out the one important thing to establish a democracy, a fair, true democracy, and that is the jury trial provision that is in section 259 of the Supreme Court Act 1995 in Queensland. But that comes out of the Judicature Act 1876 in Queensland. So it is absolutely imperative that be included in the Judicial Act 1903.
I'm just going to share the screen to show everybody what Queen Victoria's letters patent actually say. In number two here, because there's a whole bunch of stuff here, I'll just scroll up and you can have a quick look. It goes on and on. This is the full text of Queen Victoria's letters patent. And you can find that on CIR now, The Secret of Queen Victoria's Letters Patent. So if we come down here, this is the important area here. It starts off here, number two, there shall be a great seal of and for our said Commonwealth. Now, does this seal look like anything that the Australian government uses today?
No, it doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't.
But there's six state seals on it under the Commonwealth Crown.
That's it. There's the crown, the Commonwealth Crown. There are the six state seals, and there is the Royal Crown Seal. That's what we should see on every government document. So they've taken that away. Then, number three, the Governor General may constitute and appoint in our name and on our behalf, that is the Crown's behalf, all such judges, commissioners, justices of the peace, and other necessary officers and ministers of our said Commonwealth, as may be lawfully constituted or appointed by us.
The most interesting word in that is the O-U-R.
That's right.
That is a plural word. That is not an individual.
No.
And the crown, in right of the crown, is a corporation aggregate, which has as its principal official the king. But the rest of the hour is all the king's family. And in law, we're all part of his family. And that's what the hour means. This is where the English language has been misinterpreted and unfortunately, sadly, perverted by practically all governments since 1903.
Correct. Now, does that look like what is happening in our country today? Who appoints our judges these days?
It's the state governments. And you can't be registered as a lawyer unless you're first registered in the state government. You read out a little bit, you'll see that wasn't supposed to happen.
And in number four, the Governor General, so far as we ourselves, that is the Crown, lawfully may, upon sufficient cause to him appearing, may remove from his office or suspend from the exercise of the same any person exercising any office of our said Commonwealth under or by virtue of any commission or warrant granted, or which may be granted, by us in our name or under our authority. Now, what that really means, Peter, is that only the Governor General has the authority to appoint and to sack judges, magistrates, and other people in the government.
And that's right. And that's why when this was repealed supposedly in 1984, we lost responsible government.
That's right. And number five, the Governor General may, on our behalf, exercise all powers under the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900, or otherwise, in respect of the summoning, proroguing, or dissolving the Parliament of our said Commonwealth. So, in other words, the Governor General acts as the Crown.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But by repealing that, they've actually killed the sovereign. That's treason.
That's treason, exactly. And this is what's happened in our courts. So the judges and magistrates sitting in the courts, I won't say our courts because they're not. They're the government corporation courts.
They're star chamber. That's what the problem is.
That's right. They're star chamber courts. So a star chamber court is where one judge sits in judgment and makes a judicial decision on their own. Normally, in a proper common law court of the people, how many judges must there be?
At least 12. That's called a jury.
Okay, so here's the first problem with the trial went ahead against my wishes in Victoria. I'm a Queenslander, remember, and by Section 80 of the Constitution, I cannot be tried in a Victorian court if I'm accused of committing a crime in Queensland. And that's very plainly stated in the Constitution, Section 80. But this judge made a unilateral decision after she sent the jury out of the room. So in other words, she created a star chamber court right there. So she didn't have the authority to do that, did she?
She didn't have authority to do that, particularly in Victoria, because in Victoria, the enactment prohibiting star chamber, still in force, still active, and the liquidated penalty for sitting in the star chamber in Victoria was 500 English pounds in 1640. Now, a pound was a sovereign. And a sovereign is 7.4 ounces of gold. So that's $740 by 500. And that's a lot of money. The penalty for sitting in the star chamber. And on top of that, the person who suffers the star chamber is entitled to triple damages.
It comes out to $370,000 even. The CDPP filed the charge against me, one charge, and their charge seeks to stop my right to freedom of expression as guaranteed under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 19.2.
Yeah, it's even more serious than that. One of the things we're putting to Albanese and through him to the Australian government is that because the International Covenant became law in 1980, and this is the basis of your appeal to the Queensland Supreme Court. In 1986, it was made a permanent part of the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission Act. And in it are two articles. Article 9, which prohibits arbitrary judgment. Now, no one can be arbitrarily deprived of what is. Arbitrarily means on the judgment of a single judge. Now, every bank in Australia had relied on arbitrary possession orders from banks in favour of banks by a single judge to foreclose on mortgages without allowing the owner to explore his equity of redemption, and stealing that by making a possession order by a single judge. Mm. In fact, since 1980, probably every judgment by a single judge in favor of a bank will sound in damages against the bank. There's no statute of limitation on fraud.
So in other words, every house or property that has been repossessed by the banks fraudulently, we can now sue the banks.
I think probably it's going to be the pigeons coming home to roost. The bank say they're too big to fail, but maybe we'll have to go back to the 1924 Commonwealth Bank, which was a publicly owned bank, and it financed Australia in the First World War. We didn't have any debt. They just wrote a check for it and the people paid it off.
The governor of the bank actually said afterwards that he could have financed the war six times over. That's how rich the Commonwealth Bank was. And that Commonwealth Bank was the sum of all the savings, the pennies and the sixpences and the threepences of all the Australian people who put their money into that Commonwealth Bank, the Commonwealth Bank. It was our bank. And then in 1920, Sir Otto Niemeyer, the governor of the Bank of England, stole the bank on behalf of the central banking system, the Rothschilds.
Well, they persuaded the Australian government to appoint a board to the Reserve Bank instead of having it under management. And that board was appointed from all the other banks, a member from all the other banks. Now, you can imagine they set out to novel the Commonwealth Bank as it was in 1924. And one of the biggest criminal banks in Australia today is the Commonwealth Bank.
Yeah. And you mentioned before Articles 9 and 14 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Now, Article 9 says that a judge sitting alone without a jury has no authority to make an arbitrary decision to ignore the Constitution, no matter what reasons are given. And the words in the Constitution cannot be interpreted, and Constitution Section 80 is very clear in its intent. An accused must be tried in the state where he or she resides. The Constitution makes no provision for anyone to interpret its words, nor does it allow any amendments without a referendum of the people as provided in Section 128. Now, I was forced under duress by a judge when she closed the court on a few occasions when I raised questions of law, and this deprived the jury of important information that would have assisted them in their deliberations. And this resulted in a guilty verdict where there should not have been a guilty verdict at all. Had the jury known all the facts, it is likely they would have thrown the case out. And Article 14 makes everyone equal before the law. Now, you and I have been trying to get into the High Court, the Supreme Court, any court we can, and the registrars keep denying us access because of their rules of court. Now, the rules of court also exempt any judge or magistrate from prosecution. They cannot be held accountable for any crime they commit. So they're protected, and yet they are members of the Commonwealth of Australia, just like you and I are, Peter, and they are all culpable and accountable under the law. They all come under the law.
If the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, accepts that the Australian Federal Police have a duty to enforce 268, 12 and 20 Criminal Code Act 1995, then each and every judge and magistrate and judicial registrar in the Commonwealth is probably liable to the Commonwealth for the liquidated penalties that accrue under 268.12 and 268.20. So maybe the wheels are about to fall off their billy cart.
The thing is, they have upset enough Australians now that the pressure is building. We have had enough, and we want justice, and we want truth and honesty in our government. And if we don't get that, you've seen what history does. Look at Europe right now. It's blowing up. But the French have shown that by going hard against the government, we can win. And now the French government is back down and they are not going after the farmers anymore. And it's going to happen in the other countries, Germany.
It's happening already in the other countries. Germany's locked down at the moment. The Belgian-German border is blocked. The French-Belgian border is blocked. The Netherlands is blocked. And the Germans are very slow to anger, but once they anger, they're very formidable. And They've got all these great big tractors these days that they're driving down the highway very slowly and completely disrupting commerce. They're blocking supermarket deliveries and all sorts of things. And country cannot survive without its farmers. They're attacking farmers and the farmers are attacking back.
So, Peter, let's talk about the court cases that we've filed in the courts now. Probably the worst one right now that we're facing is the one of Peter Walton in South Australia. They arrested him, nearly 18 months ago?
Yep.
Threw him into jail. How long did it take him to get a trial?
He didn't get a trial. They kept him there until he agreed to plead guilty. And then they sent him to 2 years and 4 months. Now, this is absolutely, totally illegal by way of the International Covenant on Civil Political Rights. It's been pointed out to Prime Minister Albanese that this is so.
Many times.
And actually kind of kept Peter Horton in a little bit over the time when he should have been released. Kept him in for another 30 days after his sentence has been served. And now the amount of money that Peter Horton is entitled to a compensation is set out in the laws of the Commonwealth. Because he was imprisoned in breach of the International Covenant in the first place, because he wasn't brought in front of a magistrate swiftly and given bail. These are crimes against humanity, and I would not be surprised if this result in the dissolution of the government of South Australia, because it's got a $6 billion reserve fund at the moment. If Peter Horton sues for that, $3.5 billion will be the compensation. He's entitled to it by action of law. But if someone else sues for it, half of it goes to the Commonwealth Crown. It's a very interesting situation. Now, the other interesting situation about Peter Horton's case is that he was arbitrarily bankrupted by a judicial registrar. That's, again, an offence against 268.12 Criminal Code Act. And this is going to have to stop. We're going to have to somehow or other persuade the Prime Minister to deliver on his promise to root out corruption with the National Anti-Corruption Commission Act 2023. I think it was. It came into force in 2023 anyway. But it's been nobbled. Got a judge lawyer at the commission. They're saying that they can't go after the judges and magistrates, that they're sacred, and it can't go after the judges and magistrates, but it can go after the judicial registrar. But they haven't at this stage done anything to round up these judicial registrars who refuse access to court to it.
In my case, we have filed an appeal. Actually, we filed an application for a writ of habeas corpus to summon these two judges who broke the law to court to answer why they have done that. But the judicial registrar would not allow me to file that. In fact, he said, you've got to take this back. And I said, no, by law, you have to accept this. So he said, oh, okay, so I'll have to give it to a judge. So I'm waiting for the judge now to make a decision. Now, if this judge has any brains and balls, this judge will say, yes, these two judges have committed crimes against the Commonwealth and need to be brought before a court. But they probably won't. So we filed another writ in the Supreme Court a week later, and this time we're summoning the chief of the AFP and the chief of the CDPP to answer to their crimes against me, because I've had many crimes committed against me in the last 4 years by this same mob. So it's time now for them to be held accountable.
Yeah, and the Commonwealth, because 64 of the Judiciary Act 1903 says the Commonwealth is just another like you would be.
That's right. Anyway, we have now opened up an opportunity for people to become common law sheriffs. And I'll show you how that works. If you go to meetings, common law meetings, assemblies, and then go to Perth, you'll see here an email address, perth@commonlaw.earth. Now, the assembly over in Perth is inducting sheriffs everywhere. So if you want to become a sheriff, email perth@commonlaw.earth, and Mandy will get in touch with you and you can go from there. While I'm on this website, I'd also like to show you, if under courts, let's go to petitions and letters and high courts to show cause. Now, because I went to the high court and they refused to let me in and refused to summon the judges to court, I have filed a case in the high court and they refused me. So now we have created a petition which, if you sign this petition, goes to every senator. So they're getting hundreds of these emails now. What it says is that since High Court Rules 1952, and especially since the High Court Rules 2004, the High Court, which should be a place where the course of justice in respect to the judicial power of the Commonwealth is available, and by Chapter 3 Constitution, a court of judicature has arrogated itself into a star chamber. The Senate, which is the highest court in the land, must summons the entire High Court bench and chief executive and principal registrar to show cause before the Senate under Section 72, brackets 2, Constitution, why they should not be dismissed and all subordinate staff terminated and their pensions forfeited to the Crown as a result of criminal misconduct in formulating the High Court rules with intent to defraud the courts, judges and people of the Commonwealth by making the High Court a closed shop unavailable to all equally by rules of court and allowing all insubordinate courts with judges to run riot. Please only sign this once. Sign it here. Click on submit and you will send this email to all senators. So they are getting their email boxes clogged up with this. The more people who sign it, the better. So share this around, please. We need thousands, hundreds of thousands of Aussies to sign this petition. Australia, let's get hundreds of thousands. Let's get millions of people sending the email to their senators. Thank you very much for coming on again, Peter. Your knowledge and breadth of experience is just amazing. And your support for me, I can't thank you enough. Thank you very much.
Bye. Yeah, and yeah.
In a world where power collides with secrecy and loyalty hangs by a thread, comes a groundbreaking revelation that will challenge your perception of history. Dick Yardley's masterpiece, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dive deep into the hidden narratives that shaped a nation. Uncover the untold stories of those who walk the corridors of power, often veiled in shadows. From the heart of Parliament to the sanctums of faith, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage unveils the enigmatic lives of leaders who dared to defy our Constitution. Come on an expedition through history's most guarded secrets. Delve into the pages that expose the intrigue, the alliances and the betrayals that history tried to forget. Are you ready to uncover the truth? Experience the gripping revelations that redefine Australian history. Get your copy of Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage now. Available only at advance-australia.com.au and select merchandise on the menu.
Peak Dawn is proud to announce the launch of a series of online learning courses that have been developed in collaboration with common law expert Mike Holt. So if you want to learn about how to protect your rights, what common law is, or indeed the depth of common law courts and how you can use them in your local community to seek justice, sign up at the link below.